Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so we've got the, the meaningful deaths weighing in at 500 plus a year. The non-steroidal anti-inflammatory deaths weighing in at 17,000 a year. And the narcotic deaths weighing in at 33,000 a year. Now, here's the deal. If these drugs really worked, then they would work in doses that are so low as to be non-lethal. That would be number one. Number two, if these drugs were really effective for pain, people wouldn't need to take them every single day. They would take them, the pain would go away, and they would be done with it. So these pain drugs are patently ineffective. And I remember when I was in medical school doing the arthritis rotation, nobody got relief. It was absolutely depressing. It was depressing. And despite this, in medical school class, when they told us about narcotics and pain relief, the question was asked, how much is enough? And the answer is, keep giving it more and more and more and more and more and more and more. So the amount that's enough is enough. So the doctor is to write a prescription more and more and more until the patient gets relief. And I said, well, wait a minute. If the drug is not working or giving the person relief, at what point do we stop and say, hey, this is not working? And the professor, of course, looked at me as if to say, you know, you don't understand. This question is an ignorant question. But when you've got a drug like narcotics that's killing so many people in the United States, you have to ask yourself, how much is enough? And you have to ask yourself as a doctor, which I did in medical school, is how do I feel about turning somebody into a drug addict? How do I feel about recommending a drug for someone and prescribing it in such a quantity and frequency that it's going to kill them? It didn't make any sense to me. The person is coming to me because they have pain, not because they want to die. And so the challenge, of course, is to, well, relieve their pain. So what I'm pointing out here tonight is the design of these drugs, whether it's narcotics, non-steroidals, or Tylenol, the design of the drugs is such that the amount required to relieve pain is never achieved by the person taking the drug because they die first. And so you have people who are taking these drugs, it may reduce their pain, but they still are in pain. So I would like to suggest that it might be that these drugs are actually designed as a way to exterminate people. And doctors are actually trained to recommend these drugs for pain relief when they're absolutely lousy pain relievers. When I say lousy, I mean the relief they give is simply not complete, number one. And number two, in the course of trying to take enough of these drugs to relieve pain, people are dying. I mean, these drugs combined, you add to 33,000 plus 17,000, you know, that's 50,000 right there, toss in the other 500 for the acetaminophen, you know, like 50,500 deaths per year from painkillers. But wait, firearms don't even kill that many. And that's when you throw in the suicides. There aren't that many homicides a year in the United States. So these drugs represent a substantial amount of death, carnage, and misery for a condition, pain, that's not deadly. But I'm not suggesting that people suffer in pain. I am suggesting people use something, well, a tad bit safer. So one thing I noticed when I was working with people who had received narcotics often from another doctor was that if they relieved their constipation, the pain dropped by at least 50%. And that's pretty safe. and we're talking about pooping three times a day as opposed to just once a day. That alone is an incredible pain reliever, simply having more poop. The next thing, people who tend to have chronic pain drink a lot of things. They drink coffee, they drink soda pop, they drink juices. Just switching your beverages over to water only. Huge, huge pain reliever. Absolutely huge pain reliever. Just drinking water instead of your regular beverages. Awesome. Just awesome. Then, if you want to go even a step further, we'll call this Advanced Pain Relief 202. You can apply turpentine to the part that hurts. Yeah. You can apply turpentine to the part that hurts. Of course, after you drink your water and after you increase your bowel movements. When I was in medical practice in the 90s, I was so disappointed in the results from using these pain medicines. That would be Tylenol, the non-steroidals, and the narcotics. But I actually refused to prescribe or accept samples for any narcotics while I was in medical practice. And so, of course, people will come to me, very nice people, and say, well, Dr. Daniels, you know, I do use narcotics, and they do help my pain. I said, correct, but you're still in pain. And so this one lady who had been on narcotics for about five years, and she took these narcotics to help with her pain, which, of course, recurred pretty much every day. I said, look, why don't you change your food, change what you're eating, don't eat any sugar, don't eat any bread or meats, and just eat fruits and vegetables and organic food and drink water. This lady did that. She did that. And her pain was gone, absolutely gone in less than a week. She was astounded. It was startling to her that this pain she had all these years was just because of what she was eating and what she was drinking. So that would be the way to handle this pain that these drugs have been used for. Now, let's just say you've had a little trauma to go along with this, recent trauma. Now, you may want to do alternating hot and cold ice packs. What's that going to do? It's going to increase the circulation to the area. It's going to expedite the healing. Yeah. So that would be what I would suggest you do. Instead of taking these deadly drugs, which kill more people than firearms. And people want to, the government wants to outlaw firearms or need a license to have a firearm, and certain firearms you can't have. I mean, if human life is what they were concerned about, they would apply the same level of scrutiny, regulation, and negative publicity to these drugs that are killing over 50,000 Americans a year. So the moral of the story is, there's always an easier, less dangerous, more effective way. At no point are drugs your last resort or any resort at all. In my house, we don't even have these drugs. There is no Tylenol. There are no narcotics. There are no non-steroidals of any kind. And you don't need them in your house either. So, questions, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And as always, we have a lively chat going on in the chat room. And this chat room is healingwithdrdaniels.chitango.com. That's Dr. Daniels, healingwithdrdaniels.chitango.com. So we're going to answer some questions here in the chat room, and there's a lot of questions. So, I'll use this stuff in Houston. Dr. Daniels, my brother used this stuff, I guess with painkillers, for years to help him keep going while his hip deteriorated. Okay, so what the person asking the question does not understand, or may not know, is this stuff actually caused the hip to deteriorate. So the NSAIDs, which interfere with COX-1 and COX-2 formation, that's cyclooxygenase is what COX stands for, these compounds maintain and repair the cartilage in your hips and in your joints. So you get pain, you take this stuff to relieve the pain, it destroys your hip, causes more pain. You take more of it to relieve the pain, it destroys the hip more, and it's this big cycle. Is there any way to undo any damage it may have done? Yes. First thing, stop taking the stuff. The second thing, though, is to take gelatin, 1 to 4 tablespoons in 1 to 4 cups of water and drink it daily. And that'll help rebuild that hip. But you got to stop taking the drugs for sure. Okay. Okay. Dr. Dan, what does it mean that NSAIDs are generally well tolerated? NSAIDs, this is non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, the ones we mentioned that cause bleeding, heart attack, and stroke, increased death. More or less 17,000 people a year die from these drugs. And this is a number, the pharmaceutical industry's number, not my number. So this is their number. I would take it as a vast underestimate, but still 17,000. More folks than Zika ever killed. So R, that means yes. Generally, that means most people, and then well-tolerated. Well, generally well-tolerated, that's not a scientific term. In other words, what percent of people tolerate these drugs well? And what does it mean to tolerate them well? Well, to tolerate them well means that you bleed, and when you bleed, you lose less than a pint of blood. That's tolerating a drug well. I think most listeners would agree that they don't want to be in that category. Most people are not willing to pour a pint of blood into the toilet or on the floor. This is not good. So that's considered tolerating NSAIDs well. If the bleed is a small bleed, less than a pint of blood, and the pain is mild to moderate, but not really severe, that's well tolerated. Generally means most people have these types of results. Well, this is a devastating statement, actually. But it's put this way, euphemistically, to get doctors to prescribe this stuff and to get people to take it. That's basically what this means. This is a propaganda statement designed to have doctors and patients feel good about a devastating outcome. Dr. Daniels, I go to the shelves with horse products to shop, and I think there's a lot of good, safe remedies there before marketed to people. What do you think? I think horses are a heck of a lot bigger than people. And what might be safe for a several pound, 1,000-pound horse might not be safe for a person. So I do think, while I do think the horse products historically have been pretty safe, there are changes afoot, and now the same pharmaceuticals used in people are being used in horses, much to the detriment of the horses. So my husband was a veterinarian, and he was very discouraged by the changes he saw happening in the veterinary field, where horses are being subjected to the same dangerous drugging that people are. And so I would say if you're going to shop in the veterinary section, definitely read the labels, look up the ingredients, and exercise some discretion and judgment. All right. Uh-oh. So Dr. Daniels, what is this person saying here? So there's a wiki comment. Someone looked up on wiki and says, the non-steroidals was first used in 1960. The term serves to distance new drugs from steroid-related iatrogenic tragedies. Absolutely. When I was in medical school, we were taught that these non-steroidal drugs did not have the large number of side effects that steroids had. Well, the list of side effects for steroids was just outrageous. The steroids caused hypertension, diabetes, deterioration of the joint, psychiatric problems, death, liver disease, a very long list. And so the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories worked only through part of the same pathway. So it didn't affect all the same pathways of the steroids. And so we were basically seduced into believing that these NSAIDs or non-steroidals were somehow more desirable than these steroids, when actually it wasn't, not at all. Dr. Downs, is PHYSE fizeptone an opioid? Yes, it is. And this is another travesty. And this happens, and you know, we like to blame doctors, but quite frankly, doctors are just misinformed. And so this particular drug, fizeptone, is a narcotic. Now, my book, A Narcotic is a Narcotic is a Narcotic. And fizeptone contains methadone as the active ingredient. And methadone is addictive. Not only is it addictive, it's deadly. And we doctors are told that this, don't worry, it's not addictive. Oh, it's not deadly. And here it says right here, October 12, 2016, people who are given this drug for a long time to treat their pain rarely become addicted. What does that mean, rarely become addicted? It means they do become addicted. If you become addicted to it, maybe you would be counted as rarely, but it does happen. And so, again, these are just assurances, false assurances they give to doctors and to patients to get them to use these very dangerous drugs. And the patients take them because they have confidence in the doctor. The doctor recommends them because he has confidence in the information source. But the problem is, once these drugs get started, the patient, feeling that they're safe, doesn't pay attention to side effects, and instead says, this is a minor thing, I'm going to continue taking it. And then, of course, the poor, unfortunate patient dies because he was told by a doctor the drug was safe, and so when he feels, gets these side effects, he dismisses them, continues to take a drug, and then boom, he dies. And this is very, very unfortunate. Yeah. All right, so Dr. Daniels, what is tramadol? Okay, so tramadol, again, another case of this. So tramadol first came out back in the 90s, or maybe even in 83. And this person is asking, is tramadol like Tylenol? Absolutely not. Tramadol is now controlled substance. In other words, it causes problems. So tramadol can slow or stop your breathing, especially when you start using this medicine or whenever your dose is changed.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Doctor, doctor, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels, and we have some callers. Andy in Texas. Hi, Andy. Andy,
hi,
you
here? How are you? Yes, I'm here.
Pretty good. How are you doing? Okay, what's your question?
Well, I got a couple of questions. The first question, if you don't mind me asking this, is you've been in the medical industry, knowing what you know about the medical industry and what they're actually doing to the American people and stuff, what do you think the actual idea of life is all about? I mean, what's your philosophy on why we're even here?
Oh, I think that people are here... There's two reasons. There's one question is, well, where do people fit in the biological order of things? And I think that the human organism is designed to take in air, food, water, and take energy into the body, and then put out a product, which you can say maybe urine, feces, carbon dioxide, that feeds other organisms in the whole biosystem. So that would be kind of like just where in the nature of things or people. And so what's the purpose of life, I think, is to, be helpful to yourself and other people and to reproduce and continue the human species.
Okay, well, you know, having said that, no, I concur with you. I do believe that, but I also believe there's a higher power, but we're not going to go there. Well, let's stay with all the stuff that these people are doing to us and whatnot, what do you believe the actual purpose for them, other than money, unless that's the only drive, why do you think they're feeding us all this garbage that's killing us?
I mean, what's their motivation?
Yeah, what's their motivation to do all this stuff?
Power, entertainment. But I think the other way to look at it is, what is the motivation of people to participate in this? There are people who are willingly participating in this. I mean, they're begging the government to maintain the Affordable Care Act. Oh, my God, don't touch my Medicare. You know, don't touch my health insurance. I want to make sure my executioner gets paid. So I kind of take a neutral position on this. My position is, it can be easily avoided. Each person has a choice to avoid it. And so I have a radio show to educate people who might want to avoid it.
Well, and it is a fantastic radio show, but do you think there's a higher idea here? As they poison us, they do an autopsy on most everybody who dies and whatnot, and so they find out some new information based on the garbage they're feeding us and whatnot. Do you think they have a higher motivation to do that? That we're like lab rats and they're just throwing all this garbage at us to see how we react?
No, most bodies do not get an autopsy. So most people who die don't get an autopsy, unfortunately, but they don't. I think people who are doing this don't really have that big of an interest in the effect on the people who are so affected. So, I think it's best just to not overthink it and to realize that at this point in time, it's pretty easy to avoid, and just decide, you know, if you want to avoid it. So it's a personal decision on everyone's part as to whether or not they want to avoid this. And so that's the way I look at it. It's pretty simple to avoid, because no one's going to kill you for free. You got to pay for it. And because of that, it gives you a lot of opportunity to avoid it. All right. Thanks, Andy. Dan in Texas. You're welcome. Dan in Texas? Dan.
Hi, Doc. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right. If I run too long, feel free to cut me short. Most common thing I experience with my children and grandchildren is when my children's parents, their children get a fever and they get all concerned about it. Mm-hmm. What do I tell them about how to reduce their child's fever without giving them Motrin or any of the NSAIDs?
Because the first thing is, don't cause a fever in the first place. And so don't get the kid vaccinated. Skip that step. So that skips the causing of the fever. The next thing about the fever is, you've got to hydrate the kid. So if the kid's got a fever, you need to start feeding him water. So the number one cause of the fever really is vaccination followed by dehydration. So kids should start drinking water. Then once the kid's got a couple of glasses of water under his belt, they can just give him some castor oil and some charcoal, and he'll poop out whatever's causing his fever, and the fever will go away. So it's pretty straightforward.
Castor oil and charcoal. All right, now two questions I had for you right quick. You mentioned the barrage of paperwork you had to do when you reported the problem with one of the over-the-counter medications. No,
it wasn't over-the-counter. Let me correct this. I wrote a prescription for a patient for a medication. The patient had an adverse reaction. I reported the adverse reaction to the proper authorities, the FDA or whatever that number is you dial. I dialed the number and called in my report and everything. And it was just an overwhelming deluge of yes.
Now, what I'm curious about is your opinion. When people get their children vaccinated and they observe an adverse reaction and they go back to the doctor, the doctors appear to be extremely adamant to deny that the vaccination had anything to do with the child's immediately following condition. Do you think that in any of these cases, these doctors who have to know the vaccine caused this problem are refusing to admit that the vaccine caused the problem so they don't have to deal with the paperwork?
I think that's part of it, but the other part of it is that the doctor acknowledges that he believes the vaccines could cause any of these problems. You know, that qualifies him as an anti-vaccinator non-believer and can endanger his employment and income.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, with Tylenol, going back, I don't remember if it was the late 70s, early 80s, when they had the big Tylenol problem. I think it originated out of Chicago. And the story...
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, it led to the days of the children, you know, for the children safety caps and sealing the bottles and all that stuff. But anyway, in that Tylenol scare, when the story was that that one particular bottle of Tylenol might have been laced with something. Now, is it possible that the Tylenol is actually what killed that person, and the, well, it must have been laced with something was just a cover story?
Correct. So what I told you today from the MedWatch, WebMD was the source. What they said is that Tylenol at therapeutic doses causes death.
Right.
Pretty straightforward. But Tylenol at therapeutic doses causes death. And we've got 500 of those deaths every year. And so what we're doing then, we're looking at, is it's entirely possible that that was just a routine Tylenol death in Chicago that was blown out of proportion, and the cover story for it was, no, the Tylenol must have been tampered with, so let's put tamper evidence seals on everything. And then, because what really might have happened was that the person just died of Tylenol. And
when it was just the Tylenol itself,
the story.
It caused it.
Exactly. Now, if you go back to the story, I was in medical school at the time, and what they said was Tylenol is so safe, a person couldn't possibly have died of Tylenol. Well, we know better than that. That's just not true.
Right. All right, Doc. Thanks again.
Okay, you're welcome. Jim in Minneapolis. Hi, Jim. Okay, Jim? Are you there, Jim?
Hello?
Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi. I don't know what happened. Are we connected now?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. See, I was wondering if you had it all to do over again. Those drugs are so damn dangerous that maybe you should have been a chiropractor. You can do things without making people worse and all the side effects. Are you there?
That's a possibility. Yeah, we have a commercial coming up, so we have to take a pause here.
Oh. Should we just hold on then?
I thought I heard the music. I guess there's no music. No, I'm not so sure I would have been I wouldn't have wanted to be a chiropractor. I'm not sure that that would be the way out. But on the other hand, having been a doctor, I was able to be helpful to a lot of people, helping them avoid their vaccines, getting them off their drugs. And the understanding that I gained by going to medical school makes it possible for me to decipher all this stuff, explain it to people in plain language, and actually do a lot of good.
Yeah. See, the other thing is, for somebody with real severe high blood pressure, just came on about a year ago, goes up to 200 over 130 today. And then it will go down when you lay down, and when you lay down, it's perfect. And then when you stand up or sit at a desk, it goes right up again. What would that be?
Mm-hmm. So that would be severe dehydration. What causes blood pressure to go up so high? Yeah, what causes it to go up so high is there's not any blood getting to the brain and the kidneys when you're standing up. When you lay down, there's plenty of blood going to the head and the kidneys because everything's horizontal. And so what makes the blood pressure go high in the first place is your body is desperately trying to get blood to these two organs, the brain and the kidneys.
And then if you're dehydrated, it makes it thicker too.
Correct.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But you don't think that's about all you'd have to do, just drink a lot of water, huh?
It sounds like it from the description.
Yeah. Okay, then.
Yes.
Thanks for your information. Bye-bye.
Okay, you're welcome. All right, thanks. Bye-bye. Okay, we got a lot going on here in the chat room. Dr. Daniels, what is tramadol? Is it like Tylenol? No, tramadol is not like Tylenol. That's a good question, though. Tramadol is similar to Ficeptone in that doctors were told that tramadol is not a narcotic. Don't worry about it. Can't get addicted. Hand it out like candy. It's going to help your patients and help their pain. This is what doctors were told, and this is in the 90s. And so tramadol stimulates the same receptors that opioids stimulate. They've now found it to be highly addictive, and it basically has all the characteristics of narcotics. And two states have taken it upon themselves to classify tramadol as a narcotic because it acts like a narcotic, has all the side effects of a narcotic. So this tramadol is essentially an addictive drug, a dangerous drug, a deadly drug that has been marketed to your doctor as totally safe and without side effect. So that's really unfortunate. So if you're offered tramadol, you should realize that it is it's quite dangerous. So here's the official internet or I guess you could say drugs.com position on the matter. It says tramadol is a narcotic-like pain reliever. That means it's like a narcotic. It's used to treat moderate to severe pain. The extended release form is for round-the-clock treatment of pain. This form is not for use as an as-needed basis for pain. Important information, you should not take it if you use alcohol, sedatives, tranquilizers, or narcotic medications within the past few hours. In other words, it interacts with all these. It can slow or stop your breathing. This is how you die from narcotics. The tramadol has the same effect. Especially when you start using this medicine or whenever your dose is changed. Never take tramadol in large amounts, larger amounts, or for longer than prescribed. Do not crush, break, or open an extended release pill. Do not swallow it whole, as it is a potential will create an potentially fatal dose. In other words, it can kill you. Seizures have occurred in some people taking this medicine. So this reads exactly like a narcotic pain medicine. Exactly like. It says misuse of narcotic pain medication can cause addiction, overdose, or death. And so this is a narcotic medicine that's not narcotic because the manufacturers were able to get it classified as non-narcotic. This is a travesty and an unfortunate deception. So if you are taking tramadol, you are taking a narcotic-like medication, a medication that has all of the effects and dangers of a narcotic. So tramadol is in a class of medications called opiate agonists. That means it acts just like opium, just like narcotics, but the government, in its wisdom, has decided not to classify it as a narcotic. However, Virginia and Kentucky have decided it is a narcotic. So that's the unbiased report on tramadol. Dr. Daniels, any advice on getting off morphine? Yes. First step to getting off morphine is to get rid of the constipation caused by morphine. So morphine holds on to toxins via constipation, causing an increase of your pain and an increased need for morphine. So if you first aggressively treat your constipation, you can use Vitality Capsules. Go to vitalitycapsules.com. Take as much as you need to. You've got to get rid of the constipation for the morphine. Next, as I mentioned to my patient years ago, increase your water content, decrease your non-water beverages, and that will go a long way towards relieving your pain. If you drink alcohol or cigarettes, definitely cut back on those. And you'll find you can cut back your morphine very, very nicely. And then you can, but the first thing is you've got to relieve your constipation. And then once you relieve your constipation, you hydrate yourself, then you can start using things like activated charcoal, again, to soak up the toxins that are feeding your pain, and you'll be able to just taper yourself right off the morphine pretty easily. Okay. Dr. Daniels, do you think that all schools and colleges have two great functions? One, which is to conceal knowledge, to conceal valuable knowledge? Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, the purpose of compulsory schooling in the United States is to separate children from their parents so that the parents cannot transmit knowledge to the children. And this is a big reason why the knowledge about the use and the healing powers of turpentine was nearly lost. After three generations of compulsory schooling, children had absolutely zero knowledge about turpentine. You can go to vitalitycapsules.com, download the free report, Candida Cleaner, and find out about turpentine and at least relieve one of the areas where valuable knowledge was concealed. Okay. This person says, Dr. Daniels, medical training is one hell of a drug. Absolutely. It's simply an exercise in very intense self-hypnosis. Okay. Dr. Daniels, what is the effect of Advil on compromised autoimmune? It would make it even worse because Advil is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, and it interferes with the cyclooxygenase healing pathway in the body, and so you don't want that. Okay, let's see. What would you do if you thought, what would you do if you thought you had colon cancer? I would relieve my constipation and I would take turpentine. I definitely would not bother the doctor about it, for sure. That's just what I would do. Of course, obviously, it's what you do is up to you. This is not medical advice, not designed to treat, cure, or diagnose any condition, of course. Okay. Oops. So I'm doing tonight's show on my computer rather than a laptop because I'm not home. Okay. So Mark Twain's notebook, someone's sharing a quote with me, a half-educated physician is not valuable. He thinks he can cure everything. Well, nowadays, we don't have half-educated physicians. We have fully educated physicians who believe they can cure nothing and that everything is a lifetime condition requiring lifetime drugs. So there you have it, from one extreme to the other. Okay. All right. So, Dr. Jameson, could fisepton cause liver damage, which could then be diagnosed as hep C? That's possible, because the fisepton would cause severe constipation, and the constipation would cause a backup of toxins through the small intestine, blocking the liver from dumping its bile, causing liver congestion, elevated liver enzymes, and it would be rather mysterious. Yes, a mysterious hepatitis. Okay. Let's see what else we got here. So Dr. Daniels, is gun control a distraction? Who'd have thunk it? Yes, gun control is a total distraction. What has happened in our culture is whoever controls the information source, whether it's the media, college education, K-12, has gotten the citizens of this country to focus on certain areas as the cause of their misery, their sickness, even their death, that are actually not a substantial cause of death at all. And so because of this focus changing from the real cause of death, in this case, pharmaceutical drugs, medical intervention, which kill about 880,000 people a year, people are instead worried about gun control and does their neighbor own a gun. And I can tell you, I've been in several situations in my life where people around me have been armed. A lot of times I found out later that they were armed. But it has always, without exception, devolved to my benefit that the people I was around were armed. And it really wasn't until later in life, like the last 8 years living here in Panama, that I become more aware of the people around me who are armed. And when I've been in situations where I've been surrounded by armed people, it has been an extremely easy, pleasant social situation. My husband, many of you know, died 3 weeks ago, was always, always, always armed, always accompanied me at all times, and I felt absolutely relaxed and totally unworried. So to think that a gun or an armed citizen in your midst is a greater threat to your health than your doctor's prescription pad is a simple misapprehension and can only be construed as the ultimate form of self-hypnosis and ignoring these obvious statistical numbers. All right. Gil in Arizona. Hi, Gil.
Sure, got a little. Oh yeah, I'm here. How are you? Just have a little. I have a subject. I listened to you a couple of weeks ago, and some guy called in, and he was all panicky about the fact that he thought his blood pressure was skyrocketing at 155, and I had to laugh because I'm 77 years old. And in the old days, my doctor used to tell me that normal blood pressure was 100 plus my age. Now, let me follow up with a question before you comment on that. I don't worry about my blood pressure at all, I'll be honest with you, and it's almost at 100 plus my age, which is 77. But the question I have for you concerning blood pressure is, how in the world can they come up with a determination that blood pressure of 115, which is should be normal, is what they say, and that would apply to a 9-year-old girl and a 90-year-old man? Now, give me a break. How can you have one standard for the whole broad spectrum of humanity? And I'll listen to your answer.
Okay, so basically they just pull it out of thin air, just simply make it up. That's it. And the question, another question to ask is, okay, if you treat high blood pressure and bring it into the normal range, we won't discuss what normal range is or what it should or shouldn't be, but let's just say you bring it into the normal range and you receive treatment for your hypertension according to the standard of care, what effect does it have on your life expectancy? The answer is zero. In other words, there's no evidence that treating hypertension helps anyone live a minute longer. All right. What about preventing heart attacks? Okay. So this is all studies done by the medical industrial complex themselves. So if you take somebody, a group of people, treat your hypertension, how many people do you need to treat for how many years before you prevent one heart attack? Answer is you have to treat 100 people for a year each. In other words, it takes 100 years of therapy before one heart attack is prevented. So how many people diagnosed with hypertension at the age of 35 are going to be able to take the medicine for 100 years in order to get that benefit.
So in your opinion...
So the whole thing is a hoax.
I agree, but do you have... yes, perfectly a hoax, because like I say, a 9-year-old girl and a 90-year-old man can't possibly have the same blood pressure. And they use
right,
only one
requirements.
Standard. Yeah. All right, well, thanks so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Hey, bye-bye.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Give such delight.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so I'm working on this compromised screen here on this little 13-inch computer, so I can't see everything. Richard in Austin, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I just had a question for you. Something that troubles me more than almost any other problem we got is this vaccine problem that we got, and it seems like...
Yeah.
This allows to play out to his ultimate conclusion, which is a total meltdown of society. So my question is now, let me phrase it like this. I do a lot of talking to a lot of different people. Even when I'm delivering pizzas, I talk to the customers about this Center for Disease meltdown with the MMR. But everybody who I talk to, I don't care how big or how small they are, they get almost threatening, violently threatening to me. Just for giving them that information, and we both know why. It's because nobody wants to admit that their doctors and their nurses and the people who they trust the most are possibly in on the conspiracy to poison their kids just so they can continue to make money. So my question is, why isn't there a more concerted effort to get this community, I'm talking about the enlightened community, like shows like yours, Alex Jones, GCN, whoever, why isn't there a more concerted effort to get the clergy, religious community involved in shutting down this madness? Because they're really the only people who can avoid all these personal attacks that people like you and me will get whenever we try to enlighten. It doesn't matter if it's family, friends, co-workers. People just get too upset because they feel like they have been betrayed. But the clergy, who can usually break down those walls of fear and intimidation to a certain extent, but I don't see any effort in the enlightened community to try to get the clergy involved. You know, and there's people like Pastor Book Ball and Chuck Baldwin and Dr. Bill Deagle, but I don't see anybody really, truly reaching out to get the clergy to start calling out these petrochemical criminals. And I think that's really the only way we're going to stop this, because just people like you and me, as good as our intentions are, our family and friends don't want to hear it from us. They want to hear it from, for lack of a better way to put it, God-chosen people like Reverend so-and-so or Pastor so-and-so. So why isn't there a more concerted effort to get these 501c3 clergy involved? And I'm sure that's really it, because they don't want to get involved. But I want to hear your answer, and that's really all I want to say, because we got to get these people involved in order to stop this madness.
Okay, so there is no way of getting the clergy involved. If you'll recall, under Reagan, he started what's called faith-based programs. In other words, he took all of the religious clergy of the United States and put them on the dole. And now, if you look, certainly in African-American neighborhoods, I'm sure in Caucasian neighborhoods as well, your local church is getting government funding for aftercare programs, for daycare programs. They are literally being told what to preach from the pulpit every Sunday as well. So the religious structure in this United States has been taken over because they are receiving funding from the government. Faith-based initiative, look it up. So if you feel that only with the clergy can this problem be solved, then I can tell you right now it will not be solved, because the churches are on the dole. They're receiving government funding. So that's just not an option. The other question is, why are these people upset with you? It's because they're law-abiding citizens. They don't want to break the law and refuse vaccines. All right, all done. See you next week. As always, think happens.
I kiss you then, then once again.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.